this week I got an email from someone on our staff about a lady that goes to our church, and her name is Thuong. She's from Vietnam, and she's been a part of our church for a little while. And it was sort of an urgent email that we got to let us know that she had been in a pretty bad car accident. And Thuong is she's a driver's ed instructor, and she does most of her instructing for international students that have come into the U.S. and that somehow get connected with her, and she helps them learn what's going on and learn how to drive and learn our rules and our laws so that they can get their license here in the U.S. and sort of be a part of what's going on, get to work and that kind of stuff. And she was with one of her students this week, and she was in a pretty bad car accident, and she was worked on at the scene by paramedics, and she was put into an ambulance, and she was taken to the hospital, and so was her student that was in the car with her. They were both injured. They get to the hospital, and the doctors and the nurses are working on the two of them, and they determine that the student is probably going to be okay. And so, you know, they sort of check her out, and they release her, but the student doesn't go home. She stays in the hospital next to her instructor. She stays next to Thuong in the hospital. Thuong's husband gets to the hospital. One of the pastors from our church gets to the hospital, and they stay there, not really knowing what's going to happen to Thuong, not knowing how bad her injuries are, and really not knowing what the next step is going to be for them. But they all stay there, and they're huddled together in the room that day. And as we talk to the family later in the week, and we sort of get an update from them, we learn that when Thuong woke up that day, that she did not plan to get in that car accident. Right? That wasn't on her schedule. That wasn't something that she was hoping was going to happen that day. She didn't plan on being in the hospital. She didn't plan on the injuries that she suffered. She didn't plan on any of that. But as you hear her talk about it after the fact, you realize that God made her aware of the fact, right, that God had a plan. Right, that God had a plan for her that day. That God had a plan for her in the midst of that accident. That God had a plan for her in the midst of her pain. That God had a plan for her in the midst of her time in the hospital. God had a plan that was much bigger than hers, much bigger than the plan that she had woken up with that morning. And as we think about life, as we think about that accident, as we think about what's going on, one of the things that we have to know and that we have to remember and we have to realize is this, is that God always has a plan, right? God has a plan, and a lot of times in our lives, God uses people and God uses our circumstances or our situations to bring about his plan, right? God has a plan. He uses people and he uses circumstances to see that plan come into place, right? We see it in Thuong's life this week. The same is true in my life. God has a plan in my life. God has a plan in your life. And as we open up God's word today, we're going to see again in Scripture that God has a plan that oftentimes is much bigger than what we think. That God has a plan that oftentimes is much bigger than we can see in the moment. So if you've got a Bible, open up to Exodus chapter 1, right? We've been in Genesis for weeks now. We've made our way into Exodus. I'm going to catch you up if you haven't been here the past couple of weeks, but I need you guys to help me out. The last 2 weeks, we talked about a guy with a coat of many colors, the favorite son. Who was it? It was Joseph, right? We know that God was at work in Joseph's life, and God brought Joseph into Egypt, and by bringing Joseph into Egypt, Joseph saved up that food, and he saved the people of Egypt, but not only them, he saved his family, and his family came into Egypt. But listen to this. We didn't talk about this last week. When they came into Egypt, where did they leave? We don't think about this very often. When they came into Egypt, they left the land that God promised them. All right? God promised Abraham and his descendants that land that they were in. They left the land that God promised them and came into Egypt to be saved from that famine and to get food. But listen to this. They didn't only leave the land God promised them, they went to Egypt. Right? When you think of Egypt, what do you think about? Sand? Pyramids? The Moses TV show? Right? Pharaoh? Here's the deal with Egypt. We don't think about it in this way now, but in that time in the world, Egypt was like the most powerful country in the world. Right? They had the most food. They had the most livestock. They had an unending source of water in the Nile River. They had everything, but on top of all that, guess what else they had? They had a very strong army, right? They had an army and a Pharaoh that could protect the people that were living in Egypt. And so Joseph's family goes in, 70 of them, right? 70 people in this family that God had promised to make into a great nation. And by the time they left Egypt, you know how many people were there? That 70 had turned into over 1 million people in the land of Egypt. And God let them go into Egypt because of all the resources that God could use to help them grow into the nation he promised that they would be. God fulfilled the promise to make Abraham's descendants into a great nation. God had a plan. But then, we know Joseph didn't live forever. Joseph died right there at the end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus. And so Pharaoh dies, Joseph dies. There's a new ruler that comes to power in Egypt. And things are about to change in a big, big way for God's people, for God's children, for the family of Joseph. And as we look at this, I want you guys to be thinking and remind yourself that God has a plan, even in the midst of this. Exodus chapter 1, if you got your Bible, we're going to start in verse 8. And we're just going to read a couple of verses. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. It says this: Now there arose a new king over Egypt that did not know Joseph. All right, that's not good for the people of Israel. And he said to his people, Behold, the people of Israel are too many for us, and they're too mighty for us, because God multiplied them, right? Come and let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight us and escape from this land. Listen, guys, the people of Egypt changed the playing field for the people of Israel. They're no longer comfortable, right? They're no longer happy. They're no longer safe. They no longer get to do what they want to do. They don't get to lie on the bank of the Nile River and get sun all day long anymore. They're forced into slavery, right? That's not what they signed up for. That's not what they wanted. But the people of Israel are forced into slavery, and they're used by the people of Egypt to begin building big things, to begin building cities, to begin building storehouses. And the people of Egypt are taking advantage of and using the people of Israel. But as you read chapter 1 of Exodus, one thing that you're going to notice that jumps out that's really interesting, the Bible says this: the more that God's people were oppressed, right, the more bad things happened to them, the more they multiplied and the more they grew and the more God worked in them as he built them into a great nation. So now look at verse 15. All right. Pharaoh increases things just a little bit. Verse 15, it says, The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, those are the ladies that would help deliver the babies for the Hebrew women. He said to them, one of whose name was Shipra and the other was Pua. Say Shipra. Say Pua. How would you like to name your kids Shipra and Pua? Right? Anybody got those written down to save for later? Here's the deal, all right? I want you to remember their names because it's important that we have their names, all right? It's very important that you know their names are Shipra and Pua. All right, verse 16, it says, When you serve as a midwife, like when you deliver a baby of a Hebrew woman, and you see the baby on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill it. So Pharaoh says, if you see a Hebrew lady and she has a baby boy, immediately when that boy is born, you have to kill the baby boy. And then he says, but if it's a daughter, she shall live. Look at verse 17. The Hebrew midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, and they let all of the male children, they let the little boys live. Here's what's going on. Pharaoh's taking the boys away because he thinks that these people are still getting too strong. He's taking the boys away as a way to weaken them as a nation. But the midwives, what did they do? Did they do it or not? No, they didn't do it. It says that the midwives did not listen to Pharaoh. Instead, the midwives listened to God. And listen to this, right? I just want to make sure that we get this point here, right? The midwives did what they did because of their relationship with God, and not because of the people around them. All right, do we see that? These Hebrew midwives acted the way they did because they were driven by a relationship with God and not by a relationship with the people around them. The Hebrew midwives trusted God and were obedient to God and not obedient to the Pharaoh. All right, and as we read this, right, we have their names, Shipra and Pua. Right, we don't have the name of the Pharaoh. Right, Pharaoh means great house. Pharaoh means big ruler. Pharaoh's not an actual person's name. We have the names of these two ladies that were delivering all of the babies back then, and they must have been busy if we read this the right way. But, all right, we've got their names, right? We have the names of the two people that honored God and that were obedient to God, and the guy that built cities, the guy that built pyramids, the guy that built temples and statues so that the world would remember his name has his name forgotten in history. But we're reminded and we remember the ones who chose to obey God. As I read this week, it made me think and just ask myself a question. We see these two women, right? Their decisions were driven by their relationship with God. And so I just asked myself in my notes and in the margin of my Bible, I wrote down, why do I do what I do? Right? Why do I do what I do? Do I do what I do because of my relationship with Christ? Or do I do what I do because of how people are going to react? Or do I make decisions that I make? Do I talk to people the way that I talk to them? Do I do the things that I do because I know that people are going to see it and give me approval? Do I do it because I know that people are going to like it? Do I do it because I know people are going to respond favorably to it? Or do I do what I do because I know that God has called me to do it? Do I do what I do because I know that it's something that pleases God, like these two ladies did? And I think it's a fair question to ask of you guys as well. Why do you do what you do each and every day? Why do you do it? Why do you dress the way that you dress? Why do you talk the way that you talk? Why do you hang out with the people that you hang out with? Why do you post the things that you post online? Do you do that because you think that people are going to respond in a good way? Do you do that so that you can connect with the right people? Do you do that so you can get a certain amount of likes? Do you do that so you can be positive? I mean, do you do that to get what you want? Or do you do what you do because of your relationship with God? Do you do what you do because you know that it brings glory to God, because it pleases God, because you know that God has called you to do it? These two ladies, Shipra and Pua, did what they did. And by the way, they could have very easily been killed for it. They did what they did because they were choosing to honor God and to be obedient to God and to nobody else. And the Bible says that God blessed them and that God honored them for it. So for me, it's a great reminder for me and hopefully for you as well, that the decisions that we make and the things that we do every day need to be driven by the personal relationship we have with Jesus and not by the people that are in our lives, not by how someone's going to react to it. Does that make sense? We need to do what we do because of our love relationship with Jesus. So the midwives did that, right? And they didn't kill the babies. And so Pharaoh ups it even more. Now he tells all the people of Egypt are commanded, not just these two women, all the people of Egypt are commanded, when they see a baby Hebrew boy, they are to throw the boy into the Nile River, right? They're to see all of these boys killed. Pharaoh is desperate to have this done. And so now think about God's people. Think about their hearts, right? Think about their emotional state right now. Think about a lady finding out that she's pregnant, right? She's got to go 9 months wondering if she's got a baby boy growing inside her or a baby girl growing inside her. One of the most exciting things that has ever happened in my life was a doctor looking at me and saying, "Congratulations, it's a boy," and putting a little boy in my arms. If that happened to a dad living in Egypt at the time that this was written, his heart would be broken. Or he'd be terrified. He'd be just wrecked with fear because he knows that entire country has been ordered to take the life of his innocent baby boy. His innocent baby boy. God's people are in a terrible situation in Egypt. Things aren't looking good. Things aren't happy. They've gone to a place where they've lost their security. They've lost their peace. They've lost their families. They've lost any hope of the future that they once thought they had. And guess what? A lot of them are losing their babies because of the order of the king of Egypt. But listen, guys, God had a plan. In the midst of all that, God had a much bigger plan for them. God wanted to get his people out of Egypt, right? God wanted to get them out of Egypt. But listen to this, guys, God wanted to get Egypt out of his people, right? He wanted them out, and he wanted Egypt out of his people. God wanted to bring them to a place where he could develop them into a holy nation, right? A nation that's pursuing after God, a nation that eventually would lead to the birth of Christ, right? And God's master plan for all of us to come into that relationship with him. And so we've got to think, right? They're in this incredible place, Egypt. Would they have ever left, right? Would they have ever left the most prosperous, greatest nation in the world if things hadn't changed for them? Like, would they have ever left if God didn't change their circumstances? The answer is probably no, right? I started to think about places in my life that have been so great that I never wanted to leave. And Chelsea and I went on a vacation a few years ago, and we went to a resort. And at this resort, everything was included, right? Like, we could have anything that we wanted whenever we wanted. So anytime I wanted to go snorkeling or boating or jet skiing or scuba diving or whatever, I could just ask somebody, and they would say, okay, here you go. Right? Any food that I wanted, I could just say, can you make me this? I didn't have to order off a menu. I could just say, can I have this? And somebody would go and make it, and they would bring it to me. I became friends with a waiter down on the beach, and every time I lifted this arm, it meant that I wanted him to bring me a huge thing of guacamole and chips and a big strawberry smoothie. And every time I lifted this arm, it meant that I wanted him to bring me a huge thing of guacamole and chips and a chocolate milkshake. And all day long, I just went like this. And it was great. I'm laying on the beach, and people are bringing stuff to me. It was like paradise. I never wanted to leave. But my circumstances changed. I ran out of money and I had to come home, right? I had to leave there. I didn't ever want to leave there. It was incredible. And in a much, 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 much bigger way, think about God's people in Egypt. Best country in the world. Anything they want, right? Their food's there. Their crops are there. Their livestock's there. They don't have to work hard for anything while they're in Egypt until God allows Pharaoh to change their situation. And we see that God's going to use these terrible things, these hard things, these tragic things to prepare their hearts for their change in circumstances. Now God's people are crying out to him to get them out of Egypt and back into the land that he promised them in the first place. It's a constant in Scripture, guys. God has a much bigger plan. So they want to leave Egypt, but it's not just going to happen. God has to use somebody to get his people out of Egypt. Who is it? Who is it? It's Moses, right? God's going to use Moses. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, as we read this, we learn that God has a plan in place before the problem ever comes up, right? God's working on a plan that's much bigger than us, much bigger than what we could see. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes. She daubed it with bitumen and pitch and put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank, right? This is Moses. This is the story of his birth. Moses was born a Hebrew boy. What should have happened to him? Should have been killed, right? That's what Pharaoh said. Moses shouldn't have lived past his first day on earth. But Moses' mother trusted that God had a bigger plan. She hid Moses as long as she could. And when she couldn't hide him anymore, she floats him out into the river. When she floats him out into the river, she had to trust that God had a plan for his life. She had to trust that God was going to protect him. Could have been eaten by one of the crocodiles in the river. The basket could have sunk. Moses could have been found by another Egyptian who was going to do what Pharaoh wanted him to do. Or that basket just could have floated away down the river and nobody ever found it. But that's not what happened. Somebody found Moses in the river. Who was it? Pharaoh's daughter. You bet. Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, and we see again that God had a plan. Pharaoh's daughter allowed Moses' own mom to nurse him and to raise him until he was old enough to go to the palace. When he was old enough, she brought him to the palace, and that's when Moses got his name. Pharaoh named him Moses because Moses means to draw out, because she drew him out of the water. But there's no way that she could have known that God was going to use Moses to draw his people out of Egypt. In the midst of this, God had a much, much bigger plan. Listen, guys, God positioned Moses perfectly, perfectly to be the guy that was going to deliver his people from Egypt. And Moses was the one that was going to do it. And Moses is going to be the one that gets the credit and gets the glory for this. But God used so many people to get him to that place. Listen, Joseph got them to Egypt, right? God multiplied them and allowed them to grow. Pharaoh, through his punishment and sort of torture of the people of Israel, caused them to grow even more. Those two midwives, what were their names? Pop quiz. Shiphrah and Pua, very nice. Good job. The midwives saved the babies, right? Lots of them. Moses' mom placed them in a basket. Moses' sister had the guts to run up to the queen of Egypt and say, hey, I've got a lady that could help take care of this baby for you. And then Pharaoh's own daughter was used by God to raise the one that was going to deliver the people out of Egypt. And when we look at all these situations on a small level, right, we don't really see what's going on. But when we push back and look at the bigger picture, we see that God is active in the lives of his people. God is active in the lives of each one of them. And listen to this, guys. God is not sitting back just watching you. God is active in your life. God is active in the people in your life. God is active in the circumstances in your life. God is active in your lives. This week, when Thuon got in that car wreck, guys, God was active in her life. God was working on her. God was doing things in her life. And as she's laying there, right, and she's talking to her husband, and her husband says things like, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that God protected you in this wreck. And they're talking about Jesus being at work. Her student is standing right there listening to it. And her student says, tell me about this God that you're talking about. And they're able to share what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus with her student. And she's asking questions. And they realize that she doesn't know Jesus. And so they tell her, right, just like everyone else, that when we're born, that our sin has separated us from God. But in like everything else, God has this bigger plan. And God's plan for all of us is Jesus. And through Jesus, we have our sins forgiven. And through Jesus, we have hope and a future and a promise for forever in heaven with God one day. In the hospital, in the emergency room, while doctors are working on Thuong, she prayed with her driver's ed student to receive Christ. Listen, she didn't want to get in a wreck at the beginning of that day, but she did. And she found out that God's plan was much bigger than hers. And God used the people and God used the circumstances in her life to see someone else come to know Jesus. Guys, listen, God is always at work, and God has a plan in each one of our lives. And God had a plan here for the people of Egypt as he got them ready to be delivered by Moses. All right, there's three things as we wrap up that I want you guys to take away from this passage of Scripture today. And the first is this. All right, we must trust in God's plan. Okay, we must trust in God's plan. We see over and over, God had a plan for his people. They couldn't always see the end, and a lot of times it meant that they went through very difficult and hard circumstances, but God had a plan for them. God has a plan for us, and we need to have the faith to trust in his plan. The second thing is this, guys, we've got to see our challenges as opportunities, right? If God's people stayed healthy and stayed happy in Egypt, they never would have returned to the land that God promised them. They never would have become this great holy nation unto the Lord that was eventually going to give us our Savior had things hadn't changed for them. Their difficulties, their challenges, their hardships, their struggles ended up resulting in something very, very good ultimately for them and for us, all right? And the trials that we face a lot of times push us outside of our comfort zone and allow God to be at work. We've got a student, Morgan, if you can come on up. Morgan is going to come and share with us. And I had different stories and different illustrations of times where God worked in my life like that. But I wanted you guys to hear from a student this morning who's faced several challenges the past several years, and I'll let her tell you about them. But this is what I want you guys to get and understand. And don't focus on the challenges, right? I want you to focus on how God has been at work in the midst of it and begin thinking in your life as well, okay, these things that I'm facing, these struggles that I'm walking through, how can I start seeing them as opportunities? How can I start seeing where God is at work in the midst of them? So Morgan, thank you for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate you. Y'all give it up for Morgan. And Morgan's just going to share how God has been at work in her life. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think it was eighth grade that I had my first knee surgery. I didn't really know what was going on or what was going to happen, but I fully recovered, and then it happened three more times. And so I didn't really know why God was, like, pushing me to have so many knee surgeries and taking me away from volleyball and, like, everything that I love to do in my life. I think I just turned it. Oh, no, we're good. Okay.
Good.
And, like, one of the things my mom always told me throughout the whole process was, like, when God closes one door, he opens another. And one thing I realized was, like, I want to be, like, a surgeon, and I want to help other people, like, recover from what I had to go through. And I got so involved with this church. Like, I had so much more free time after I had to quit volleyball. And everything God, like, he just had a full plan for me, and he had it all laid out. And so I got to be, like, a doulos at this church, and I got to come here, like, throughout the week. And just everything that he showed me has, like, made me the person I am today. And so, like, he has complete a plan for you that, like, no matter how difficult you think it may be, or, like, whatever you're struggling with, like, just know that it's all in his hands.
Absolutely. All right. Can I ask you two questions real quick? All right. So here's the deal. As an eighth grader, would you have raised your hand and said, yeah, sign me up for a lot of knee surgeries and for a disorder that's going to play a big part for the rest of my life? Would you have signed up for that as an eighth grader?
No.
No. She wouldn't have picked that. None of us would have picked something like that back in eighth grade or really ever. But here's the thing. As we talked this weekend, it was cool to hear sort of how she articulated that a couple of things happened. One, you know, God took away something that you really loved, something that you liked, but then he made a way for you to be here. He made a way for you to get connected. He made a way for him personally to continue working in your heart. Would you say that's true?
Like, I wouldn't change anything. Like, no matter how hard all four surgeries and living with this disorder has been, I wouldn't trade it for the world, because, like, I've gained so many opportunities from working with this church and realizing that I want to be a surgeon and, like, everything that he's completely laid out in my life.
Absolutely. And so one of the things she said yesterday when we were talking on the phone was this, is that God took away a few years of volleyball, and God took away some of the things that she liked to do. And in the midst of it, right, as she continued to see God at work, you know, God took away those 4 years, but traded her and showed her basically her future, showed her what he has called her to do with the rest of her life as a result of the circumstances that she's walking through now as an eighth grader and then through high school as well. So, Morgan, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Y'all give it up for her. It takes a lot of guts to come up here. Thank you very much, Morgan. And here's the deal. It's just something to remember. Every single one of you, I understand, faces things like that. Every single one of you faces disappointment. Every single one of you faces challenges. Some of you guys didn't make the team that you wanted to make. Some of you guys got a letter back from the college that you wanted to go to saying that it wasn't going to happen. Some of you guys have lost people in your family. Some of you guys personally are walking through different medical issues. And some of you guys have people in your family now that are walking through medical issues. Here's my challenge. Here's my encouragement. Okay? Start to view these challenges, start to view these trials as opportunities for God to be at work in your heart. It doesn't mean that you have to love them in the midst of them, but guys, be open to God working on your heart as you walk through them. And as God works on your heart as you walk through them, you'll be able to do what the Bible says in James and count it joy when we face those, because we know that God is working on us and making us more like him. And the last thing I want to make sure we take away this morning is this. All right, first, we got to trust God's plan. Second, we've got to see these things that come into our life as opportunities. And then last, we've got to play our part. All right, God has a plan, and oftentimes it includes, guess what? You. All right, say me. We can do better. Say me.
Me.
Say me.
Me.
Listen, God's plan includes you. Right? God wants to use you in his plan. He doesn't need us, but he invites us to be a part of it. And I think that personally, that's a huge honor that God asks us to come into. Ultimately, one guy leads the people out of Egypt. Who is it? Moses. Moses gets the credit. Moses gets the movies made about him, right? Not the other people, but listen, so many other people played a huge role in getting Moses to that place. Everybody's got a role to play. All right, every single one of us, including you. All right, your greatest contribution in this life, your biggest thing that you do for the gospel and for the kingdom in this life might be behind the scenes. All right, she didn't know I was going to share this this morning. Nancy LeBeau has been in here in the student ministry for a long time, and for the last 5 years, she's served by herself here, but for the many years before that, she served with her husband, Jim. And if you didn't get a chance to meet Jim, then I feel very, very sorry for you. You're an absolutely incredible guy, and his funeral service was actually here in this room, and all these walls were open, and there were 1,500 people in this room, and people along the top, and everybody was here at his funeral to honor him and to celebrate his life. And something that I'll never forget, it was a great service, an incredible message, and a great time of worship, but at one point, what they did was somebody had done a lot of research, and they put names on this center screen back here. That's a very big screen, right? They put names on it, and the names, the screen was full of names. The names represented students that Jimmy and Nancy had taught in their time in life groups at Champion Force that were now somewhere in the world serving in full-time ministry, serving as pastors, serving as worship leaders, serving as missionaries, running orphanages in different parts of the world. All these different things that people were doing all around the world that came out of Jimmy and Nancy LeBeau's senior apartment Sunday school class, and the screen was full of them, just absolutely full of them. God had a special role for them to play, investing in students and sending them out to do it. That's their role. That was their part in the church. God did not call them to be pastors. He did not call them to be worship leaders. He did not call them to be kids pastors, student pastors, missionaries. God called them to invest in students and to see them launched out to do what God had called them to do. They knew their role and they played their part so incredibly perfectly, and God has used them to impact countless lives for an eternity because of that. So all of us, no matter where we are, need to play our part and be willing to do what God has called us to do. The band's coming back up. I want you guys to think about these two things as the band comes up and starts to play. First thing is this. All right, if you're a Christian or if you're a believer in this room today and you've got a relationship with Jesus, based on the scripture that we learned today, this is what I'm asked, this is what I believe that it teaches us to do. Look for God at work and join him. Right, look and see where God's at work and be willing to join him in it. God might be at work in your life. He might be at work in your circumstances. I don't know where God's working in your life, but look for God at work and join him. All right, what's God doing spiritually right now at Klein Collins High School? What's God doing there? All right, what is God doing at Northland Christian School? How is God at work at Northland right now? All right, does anybody here go to Strock Intermediate? All right, does God have anything going on? It's Strock Intermediate right now. Listen, guys, all right, I want to encourage you with this, all right? I don't go to those schools every day, all right? Alec doesn't go to those schools every day. Francis, Jonathan, Holly, Alberto, LA, we don't go to those schools every day. You guys do. You do. God has equipped you and positioned you to tell people about Jesus every single day in all of those spots. God has equipped you and positioned you and brought you into relationships with people to connect with them, to share the love of Jesus with them. Hopefully, it won't take a car wreck to get you there. Hopefully, God will get you in your class. God will open doors for you, and God will use you to connect with others. Just remember that God has a plan.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.